This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Hello, and welcome to Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident with me, Dave Hill. Pride of Cleveland and beyond. I once got a back rub at a street fair. They tried to charge me $20, but I can't get into it. Anyway, my point is, with this being the last episode of the decade, well, of this year, really, but also of the decade. It's fun to say decade. Chris and I, my partner in crime, of course, Chris Gersbeck, and I decided to bring you some of our favorite moments from the show this past year, handpicked by Chris during the most stressful time of the year. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed so much. We'll see you in 2020. Chris, add some echo to that part. Okay, take it away, Chris. Get tested, everybody.
Thanks, Dave, and thank you guys for listening to Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident. All throughout 2019, I can't believe it's been quite a while since we started doing this show again. So, but thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. Thank you to our Patreon members. If you'd like to become a Patreon patron, head to patreon.com/Dave Hill. We have all sorts of fun merchandise and incentives. We'll call you and sing a Billy Joel song, which we did quite a bit in 2019. So this episode, we thought it'd be fun to, we asked around our fans and listeners what their favorite moments of 2019 were. And so we picked some of those, and then we threw in some of our own favorite moments. So I'm just going to kind of tee them off, and we'll be back with a brand new episode next week. So starting it off, we're going to go through all three of our weekly podcasts, which is this show, Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, and then our show with me, Dave, Jim Biederman, and Jody Lennon, Dave Hill History Fluffer, and also So You're Canadian, our podcast on Maximum Fun, where Dave interviews one Canadian at a time to try to get to know our neighbors to the north a little bit better. But yeah, so let's get into it. This first clip comes from one of our live tapings of Dave Hill History Fluffer. So this was recorded at QED, and it's me, Jim, and Dave. Dave was telling us about his time as a member of the New York Yankees. Just a little clip of Dave telling us about his time as a member of his first baseball team, the Alitos.
Who else was playing baseball? The other kids?
No. There's the pitcher. There's the catcher. You have first base. No,
I meant like, who were you? Who was on your team?
There were nine of us. There's the first base, second base, shortstop, third base, and then three outfielders.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's almost as if it were like a real baseball team.
Yeah, no, it was, and we would play another team, and they would have the same.
They would have
same thing. Yeah. You don't know
what was your team name?
The Dominican San Aulingos.
What does Aulingo translate
it
to?
It means little owls.
Little owls.
Boys.
Oh.
Little owl boys?
Yeah.
Little owl boys.
Aulitos.
Aulitos. Little cute little owls.
Aulitos.
Aulitos. I don't think that's the word, but all right.
Up now, coming to the mound, Los Aulitos.
So they would announce
Oh, there was one of those five-string bass guys too. Saulito.
Oh, they have like a live band with.
Yeah, the whole deal. Live band, cockfight.
An announcer who would announce in English and Spanish.
Los Saulito.
But I like this. Coming up. That's the English part. And then Los Saulitos.
Now coming, stepping out from the batter's the on deck circle, Mr. Davido.
All I can say is I hope that guy was under contract, because that guy, that's a voice.
It was an all Los Saulitos going out.
So you're playing Sandlot.
Oh, inside. That was a pit. I would throw a pitch and like,
Is this the guy announcing during the game, or like on TV?
It sounds like Frankenstein is announcing the game.
No, he would be on the Los Salito.
That's crazy.
The count is 3-1. Los Salito.
That clip was the whole Alitos, Alingos thing has made it onto other episodes. That's super fun. So Jody Lennon has not been on the show in a while. She is coming back. We're doing a live history fluffer in San Francisco for Sketchfest 2020. That's January 18th at 4 p.m. at the Gateway Theater in San Francisco. Still tickets available. Head on to San Francisco Sketchfest website. You can get tickets there. And Jody will be there. So let's actually go to a clip from when Jody was a guest on Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident. This was one of my favorite stories. Just Dave and Jody were trading stories about times that they've stolen in their lives. And so let's take a listen.
When in high school, I came up with this really dumb idea to... at least I think it was my idea. It was me and three other friends, two cars, and we would drive through the Burger King drive-thru. And the idea was, our friend Kevin was really fast. And so you order a bunch of food, and then when you pay in the first one, so you're still paying. So it's more like a 50% off crime, the way it goes down. So we order, Whoppers and chicken tenders and all these things, and then we drive through and pick it up at the second window, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you pull up to the second window, you drive out really far, like as far as you can in the drive through. So there's like a good 3 feet between you and the window.
Boy.
You see where this is headed?
Mm-hmm.
So when they're like, oh, and you drive through and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, I pulled over really far. And then so my buddy Tim and I drive through, and Kevin's waiting at the end of the Burger King. You're like right at the front. So when they hand the food off, he runs through and grabs it like it's a football play or something, you know? And he runs over to my friend Rob's car and drives off with the Burger King.
Wow.
And we had to sit there. I couldn't keep a straight face back then. It was so dumb.
You can't now.
I know.
See that you can't, right?
Well, it was just such, I was so delighted by this dumb thing we were doing.
It's so involved. There's so many elements. I can't even imagine how...
It's the imperfect crime, because we probably had to spend, $12 to get $24 worth of Burger King. And then I was like, I was 16 or something, so I was just like, I don't care about rules. And then we met in like the school parking lot and ate it. And it was the most delicious Burger King I'd ever had. But I think that's the last, that would have been the only other time that I can think of where I stole something. How about you? What have you ever stolen, if anything?
I had a high school incident once where I stole a T-shirt, like a full T-shirt. But it was involved. I had a wig on.
What? This is a caper.
It was a caper. And I used to do a lot of, so I had a wig on that my mom owned a series of wigs.
Why? Because it was like...
She just had them from like the 70s. She used to have wigs and
my
stuff.
My mom did too. That was... We had a ton of wigs in the house.
We had wigs in the house, and which I never, is always fun.
To my knowledge, I never saw her wearing a wig. Yeah. But we had a we had easily three or four of them. Like we would wear them around the house.
We wore ours around the house too. And there were a couple incidents when I used the wigs. And one was to try to buy liquor. And I had my mom's... I had my mom's ID from something, and I used to wear the wig and also pretend I couldn't hear. And so,
like you had
I just couldn't hear. Yeah, I guess officially it was I was pretending I was deaf, but I didn't like do sign language or speak it like somebody who couldn't hear. I just wouldn't acknowledge anything that was said at me. And so. It's such a bad idea. And I would go to the shadiest, with girlfriends, the shadiest liquor store or package store in Portland, Maine.
They called them packies there?
Yeah, they were packies. But yeah, and it worked every single time. And I would buy those jumbo wine coolers. Like they were like...
Oh, like two, Bartles and like 2 liters.
Yeah,
Bartles
2 liter. That was our jam.
Oh, man.
So, but with my mom's like wardrobe a little bit, I would just like go. It was such effort.
Why did you think that made you look older?
I don't know. It was so lame. It's like what you'd see the Brady Bunch do was my idea.
It's so stupid. That's bizarre.
It was so dumb.
All right, this next clip. We were lucky enough to, find out that Rory Culkin, actor Rory Culkin, is actually a huge fan of the show. And so we had him on as a guest a few months ago. And just a few weeks prior, I think Dave and I had discussed the band Pearl Jam having a truly revolting name. So we apparently ruined that band for our friend Rory. So let's take a listen to that.
You guys ruined Pearl Jam for me the last couple episodes.
How so?
I mean, the title I never considered.
I never did either.
Oh, with ruined Joe, the... I hadn't even thought about that.
I was just getting back into them, too. I was just listening to Pearl Jam a lot lately, and then I was like, oh, now I can't, that's all I think about.
I know, it's gross.
And the Lou Bega thing, I had no idea that he was from Germany. You guys really blew the lid off of that.
That was breaking news for
and
us.
He's really young, too. He's like 40.
So he was in his early 20s when he was...
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, incredible. We were learning all of that in real time. The Lou Bega.
Yeah, it blew
Junior.
My mind.
I had no idea, because you assume... In my mind, he was this sort of Steve Harvey character, even though he looks nothing like Steve... He wears... But in the video, he wore, like, kind of Steve Harvey suits, right?
Oh, yeah, like sort of baggy suits. And
yeah, so I was just like, he's probably Steve Harvey's age. Everything goes to Steve Harvey.
Also, the mambo.
Mind.
If you're singing a mambo, is you probably...
Yeah, you think.
40s, 50s.
But we stand corrected.
Yeah. Blew my mind.
But yeah, the Pearl Jam, it's weird, because you think of, like... These are sophisticated guys. They're not going to name their band after jizz.
I know. They all say, like, Eddie Vedder seems like a pretty intelligent, dude.
But
I think he wouldn't name his band after
Nirvana. Jizz.
Thanks, Rory, for being on. And thank you for being a fan of ours. I hope we haven't ruined any other bands for you. This next clip is another clip from a live taping of Dave Hill History Fluffer that we did at QED. And this was, I believe, the first appearance. We released some of these out of order, so I could be wrong. But I believe this was the first time Dave brought up the animatronic owl that sings the now classic line, "And Daddy's Saying Bass." And so this was the very first appearance of that. So let's take a listen to that.
the lore is that you did you and Hilly did open it as a wedding banquet, but the musical guest, he had booked these guys from Forest Hills, the Ramones, and that they were they were the wedding band, and that's
you're getting ahead of it.
Okay,
I had a one man band. I was in the Ramones. Ish.
You were in the Ramones.
I had a one-man band called the Ramones, right?
Oh, so you, okay.
And what it was a one-man band. I had this, it was sort of a, I don't know, it's like a gay 90s type thing, but I had the straw hat and the vest and the armband, and I would have these animatronic, you know, like I would have, like I'd play the drums and I'd have the washboard and I'd play sort of a banjo,
like
type
a jamboree,
thing.
a jamboree
thing, and then I would, with my feet, I would activate these I would have the woodchuck would sing a verse, you know. I would,
and this was the Ramones.
Ramones. Yeah, that was.
This is the group known as the Ramones.
Yeah, yeah. Woodchuck's gonna take, and then
I can see. I can see how it's confusing.
Yeah, yeah. And then you know there was an owl who sang baritone, and he would he would light up beneath and go, and Daddy sang bass, you know, and that sort of thing.
I love it.
And we were called the Ramones.
And so, what? I'm not gonna ask why you called the Ramones. So this was gonna be the wedding.
We had a lot of hits.
Oh, yeah. You actually recorded?
Yeah, we did. We had a lot of stuff. Grandma Loves the Shoeshine Boy was one.
Sure, that's a good one. I didn't know it was you.
Eat Up Catherine or Richard Will Think You're Delicate was another.
That, by the way, can I say something?
Yeah.
15-year-old Jim hears that. Boom.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was. We had some heat.
But when you say we, you're talking about business.
That's music business talk.
When you say we, you're talking about the woodchuck and the owl.
And all the other animals that I
what is the
stored
owl,
in
what
the
did
crate.
The owl say?
And Daddy sing bass. He would come in.
That was his thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. He would light up and to get to the top, and he'd sing all the low parts like that. But they were all something along that.
By the
line.
Way, oddly enough, deeply religious too. That owl.
That was part of his things. Well, the idea was to teach people like Bible stories in relatable fashion by having a baritone owl tell the stories.
So, I don't want to get you.
So, just to be clear, that was the Ramones.
That we were called the Ramones.
So Hilly books what he thinks is
a band from Queens.
But he thinks
called the Jerrys, they were called.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. So he thinks he's helping you out with this wedding banquet thing by hiring the Jerrys?
Yeah, yeah. And I was all set to go on. I had the
You've had all your animatronics built.
I had all the animatronics.
And you had the washboard on your chest.
The washboard.
And he's got the garter belt on the sleeve.
Yeah, and the clanking cymbals in between, you know, and I hit.
But I've died to see you live.
Hat.
My God.
Yeah, yeah, and the owl chiming in, dirty same bass.
Dirty same bass.
So many pieces and pieces
of wood. It was a lot. It was
string,
a lot.
Lots of string.
Yeah, there was lots
wires.
Of pushing and pulling.
Yeah, 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 and there was. I had a.
It's like a crazy marionette act or something.
Creativity
was hard.
I threw
my money into. There was this hen, and she would sing like. You know, all the high parts, but then every couple songs.
Was it a real hen or is it animatronic?
It was these are all animatronic,
okay,
but
okay.
Then at a couple points during the show, the hen would get up and little chicklets would come out. Chicks. Baby chicks would come out, and then they would sing.
I thought you meant gum.
No, I screwed up. But they would sing another part. But what happened was I was supposed to go on and I got stuck in the bathroom.
The famous CBGB's bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, which had a door at the time. And we had sunk we were hosting a like quince, how do you say quince?
Oh, the, okay. A 16-year-old
Yeah. Quinceañera. Yeah, yeah. We had it. I was having my quinceañera.
Oh, yeah. It was your quinceañera.
It was my quinceañera. Yeah, because I could get a deal on the place. Yeah, thank you. And I went.
The young girls must have loved that.
Yeah, the underage girls. Yeah. So, but I got locked in.
Lots of tears.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I don't want. Yeah, no. It was, but no.
Wow. So you're locked in the bathroom.
Locked in the bathroom.
I'm going to imagine panic.
Everyone's freaking
full
out.
Full-scale panic.
Yeah, and I can hear, like, someone's trigger. I keep hearing the owl going, Daddy's singing bass. You know, someone keeps triggering
on the stage.
Kind of. They thought it was funny to mess with my stuff. The and they keep triggering, Daddy's singing bass.
Yeah.
And it keeps happening. And I'm downstairs pounding, trying to.
No one can hear you.
Yeah, you know they can, but I can hear that that owl just mocking me from above. Yeah. So jumping into the breach where
what, so to speak,
went on. Hilly didn't know what to do, so he introduces these four guys as
the Ramones.
The Ramones.
The Jerrys as the Ramones.
That's exactly
and
right.
That's, so that's Joey. Oh.
Yeah.
Joey.
Fuck, I don't remember their name.
Joey.
Patty.
Johnny, Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike.
Yeah.
But
the Joeys.
There was never a Patty?
No, Patty. You're thinking of another band.
Oh. Yep.
Patty Smith.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of Patty Smith, too. But
Scandal.
Yeah. John McEnroe's wife.
John McEnroe's
yeah.
wife.
Yeah. She's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But so daddy, so and daddy, daddy sang bass.
And daddy sing bass.
So, so this is happening. Hilly's panicked. I've gone crazy.
He was panicked.
You're locked in the bathroom downstairs.
He had put the money up. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's
and now he's shelling out money for not only the chocolate fountain, the churros, build your own burrito bar, but now he's calling a locksmith on a Sunday.
Oh.
Triple time, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly
so,
right.
So, but the Ramones, the Joeys.
The Ramones, yeah, the Jerrys.
The Jerrys are there. He says,
You
got a new name.
Yeah, yeah, the Ramones. Because the banner was already up.
Right, okay.
And they didn't want to go on. They didn't want to go on.
They're very shy.
Because it said the Ramones.
Right.
And they said, well, that's Dave's band. And then Hilly, who, to his credit, said, "You're the Ramones."
This kind of changes the course of history.
It so kind of does.
It did.
The Ramones, the Jerrys? The Jerrys?
Well, they were now the Ramones.
Okay. They get up on stage. They play their music. I'm wondering, are the animatronics singing along with them, or... Is the owl
does
with
Mama
them?
Play bass ever play part no. in any of the Ramones songs?
And Daddy sing bass. Daddy no, it's Daddy sing
oh,
bass.
I always twist everything to a female POV.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
No, they did some of my songs. I had a song called We're a Happy Family.
Mm-hmm.
And which was totally different.
The way they did it.
The way they did it, yeah.
Right. What about the guests who were there at this wedding? At this Quinceañera?
What is it? What did I have?
Quinceañera.
What are they thinking? I mean, the Ramones, as we know them, are quite a very different band than I'm going to imagine your...
Than the Ramones that I started. Ramones.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're very different. Yeah, they had the matching jackets, which was my idea. They didn't have that initially.
You told them about leather jackets.
Yeah, just wear matching jackets.
Mm-hmm.
Give a look.
Well, you have to understand that, and I'm not in any way being disrespectful, but you're locked in the bathroom downstairs. You've got a stage full of animatronics that I'm assuming you've...
sunk up my whatever
your life
I
savings
my
into.
Life savings into.
You sold your attaché case from what you told
and
us.
And the hat.
Yeah.
And the Ramones... are on stage, but somehow you've managed at some point in that entire thing to tell them just to all wear the same jacket.
They were terrified, and this was all through a keyhole.
Okay.
You know, in like in prison movies when they go and they talk to the guy on and he just talks through the little slat or the keyhole or whatever, and he like and he's the last gasp of a dying man. Mm-hmm. That's what was I was like, you should wear magic jackets. Yeah.
All right. So they play. I'm gonna assume it goes well, but doesn't go well all at the same time.
No, well they didn't do the owl. So in that way it did not go well to my ears.
All right. You eventually get out of that bathroom.
Yep.
Okay.
Did you rip the toilet out? Like how did the toilet end up just alone in that bathroom? Yeah. Because it's iconic that the bathroom wasn't it I heard that there was just a toilet in the middle of the men's room. And there was nothing else around. The walls were gone.
I'm glad you brought it up.
It was just one toilet.
Well, when I got done with it, yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, no.
You've gone apeshit in there.
It was originally a very nice bathroom, and I just freaked the fuck out. And I just started trash. I started writing the names down of any band. I made up band names.
Like what? Like name one.
Sick of It All. I just wrote that. Yeah. Just wrote whatever shit came to mind.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I just wrote whatever fucked up shit I could think of. Uh-huh. I wrote all like, over.
What, give me another.
Youth It Today. I wrote that.
What about
Gorilla Biscuits? Yeah, I wrote all that. I just wrote whatever fucking weird shit because I was down in that basement.
Well, you're at this point so on a psychological edge, a cliff.
Yeah. I was losing my mind, low on oxygen. I just started writing down. Talking Heads was one that I came up with, and that got snatched up quickly.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Dave has said it in Daddy Sang Pace in every episode. Maybe a couple, hey, he hasn't, but we need to get some t-shirts of a little owl that says in Daddy Sang Pace. All right, this next clip, we were lucky enough, Dave and I were lucky enough to do a live taping of our So You're Canadian podcast at the Ha Ha Harvest Festival just a few weeks ago, actually, in Portland. So this is a clip we had a hilarious Heidi Brander on the show. And she revealed to us that there's actually an urban legend in Canada of the West Edmonton Mall Poo Eater. Let's take a listen to that.
So how far away, have you ever heard of like the West Edmonton Mall Poo Eater? This is a whole other...
I'm listening. You really buried the lead.
I was like, am I going to bring this up or not?
All right, can we hit the intro music again? The what? The West Edmonton.
So I have a lot of friends that are from Edmonton, that like grew up in Edmonton. And I've never been to Edmonton, but there's this legend of the West Edmonton Mall Poo Eater, who is this person who, or thing, I don't know, who goes to both, he's been spotted, I'm assuming it's a he, but maybe it's a she, spotted in both male and female restrooms. People have reported like going to the bathroom and then a note will slip under the door that says toilet's broken, don't flush. And then they'll be like, oh, okay, I guess the toilet's broken. And then they'll leave. And then this person will allegedly eat their poo.
Chris, have you ever been to Edmonton?
No, but I'm booking a flight.
How long when was the peak with this rumor going around?
Oh man,
let's Google this. Edmonton.
Oh no, and then there's this whole thing where like I tweeted once about the West Edmonton Mall Poo Eater, and so if you Google West Edmonton Mall Poo Eater, one of the top results is me. And so like then all my Edmonton friends started this rumor that I'm the West Edmonton Mall Poo Eater, and it's like not true.
It's like Breaking Bad when his brother-in-law is,
oh yeah,
and then he's like, you're the
leaves
poo
of grass
eater.
Man, oh
my gosh. This is, how did we get on West, how did we, how will we ever get off the West Edmonton Mall Poo Eater? Talk about t-shirts.
Oh my God.
That's a shirt.
That's the shirt.
Well, we have a surprise for all of you. We have West Edmonton Mall Poo Eater shirts.
With Beaver Bank on the back.
Oh my gosh.
Dave, we got to book the West Edmonton Poo Eater on the show. I'll make some calls.
If you're out there, West Edmonton Mall Poo Eater, Give us a call.
So, but is it an urban legend, or are there documented cases?
Oh, I mean, it's like a Reddit thing. Like, it's definitely like on Reddit, and like, I mean, there's so many West Edmonton Mall rumors. Like, there's a rumor that it has like its own species of cockroach that lives in there, and like, there's like Draculas that live in the basement and stuff. It's a fascinating place.
And speaking of Canadians, one of our first people, one of the first people we had actually recorded an episode of So You're Canadian was about a year ago. And that was when we had author and musician and very funny man Paul Myers on. So we recorded his episode about a year ago and only just got released. Took us a while to get that podcast together. But this was just a pretty funny moment that always stuck out to me, where Paul does an impression of known Canadian Randy Bachman. Let's take a listen to that.
I think I have... I'm going to go get something.
Okay.
And you can keep talking. I'll be back in a
while. I'll do sound effects of you walking down the
do
street.
Do some... I'm going to walk.
I'll do a monologue as Randy Bachman.
I think I might have the most hoser jacket of all time. I'm going to get it.
So while you're going away, I'll do a little impression of Randy Bachman going to the store. No, I don't think so. Well, baby, I'm going to the store now. Going to go to the record store. Oh, you know, I'm going to the record store. Anyway, so then, and then that's what happens.
And this next clip, it's from another live taping of Dave Hill History Fluffer that we did at QED a while back. So this clip has Dave, Jim, and Jody on it. And it's just Dave telling us about his time working as a dog walker for, yes, David Berkowitz, Son of Sam.
He was one of those guys. You know, some people you don't know, you can't ever tell when they're being serious. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like, you know, and say,
if
you
someone
don't,
says to me, I'm going to go kill people, I
no,
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't tell, like, whether they're joking or not.
Sure,
he
sure.
He was one of these people where you're always like, I don't know if he's joking.
Right. Well, what would he joke about?
He would say, I'm going to kill some people. Yeah. Yeah, that was the exact sort of thing.
Okay, so
he talked about it all the time.
Yeah,
he was never, ever not talking about killing people.
Right. There's another part of this story, and that's Harvey the dog. Okay.
Harvey is the dog that I walked.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
David Berkowitz felt that the dog was talking to him and telling him.
No, so, the dog did talk. He would do. You ever watch this? Yeah.
No, like really talk or what?
No, you know, you ever watch those like those YouTube videos where the dog's like, "I love you."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are funny.
Did all that stuff.
Those are
like,
right.
I love
him.
Yeah.
Like he was kill someone.
What? There was it was sort of that, you know. Yeah, that was the sort of talking that
well,
that he did.
Felt that Harvey, who he dubbed the Son of Sam, even though it's Sam.
No, the dog's name is Harvey.
Okay, well, the point is, David Berkowitz felt that the dog was telling him to do these horrible things, and you're arguing with the guy about getting paid.
Well, that was my job.
No, I
was walking the dogs. Okay.
We're so lucky that Archie didn't say anything to
right.
David Berkowitz.
Right.
Archie.
Worrell.
That too. I mean, clearly, based on this scenario.
No, there were a few times.
Archie probably met David.
Right. David Berkowitz?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah, because David used to come to the parties all the time.
Wait,
Gene Shalit, David Berkowitz.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're walking the door. You're walking.
David Burney. Married
oh, because
Baxter
he was married.
Burney.
Yeah.
No. They had not met at this time.
Oh,
they had not met yet.
All right.
Oh. To watch those two fall in love. Just to be a fly on the wall and watch those two fall in love.
Dick Van Patten was around quite a bit. A young Willie Ames.
Sure. By the way, I only remember him as being a young Willie Ames. I don't know of him.
Well, trust me, he's not looking good today.
No? I knew New York was a dangerous time. In that.
No, it was crazy because, you know, at the time, I had a friend named Gabe who taught high school.
Did he look like Gene Shalit?
Yeah, look a lot like Gene.
He looked a little bit like Gene Shalit. He taught high school out in Brooklyn, and the stories he would tell me from this time were it was crazy.
I'm sure.
Just riding out,
So this we're gonna play one more clip, and then we're gonna play a song that was performed on Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident. So this next clip, this was an often cited favorite moment of 2019 when Dave and I were just hanging out, I think, for this episode, and somehow the subject came up of the very first book that Dave wrote, which was called Down on the Farm: Barnyard Animals of Doubt. It was pretty random moment, and definitely one of my favorite moments of 2019. So let's take a listen to that.
Years ago, like at the dawn of the internet, whenever that one, when was that?
95?
Later than that. But I was learning, I was in Cleveland, and I was learning how to do like Photoshop and stuff, graphics.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a book called Down on the Farm, Barnyard Animals of Note. And it was just like a book about farm animals and just my opinions on them. All very positive.
I really want to read this.
It's a strong book. But then a friend of mine was writing for like, you know, that newspaper insert magazine, like Parade.
Uh-huh.
She was writing stuff for that, and somehow she was like, I could write about your book if it's available.
Whoa.
So I was like, okay. And I can't remember how my contact information was in there. But basically, so the book didn't exist. It existed on like a disc or whatever was the storage thing of the time, zip drive. And so then I started getting all these orders for this book that didn't physically exist.
Wow.
So I was just like, I'll just go to Kinko's and I'll make them. I got like heavy, I printed out all the pages on like color paper and, you know, and then I got like heavy stock cardboard or something, and I glued the pages onto these heavy stock pages.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took it to Kinko's and had them like put spiral binding.
Yeah.
And then sent it to these. And I didn't charge a lot for the book.
Yeah.
I wasn't even making a profit by the time I was done. But whatever I was charging, people sent it back and were like, what the fuck? This is like a handmade book. They were just like horrified that they weren't getting, and understandably so, but I was just a young buck.
How old were you?
I was, I would have been like in my 20s. So.
Do you have any copies of it here?
I do. Let me see. Hang on. This is the actual book. People received this mail from me.
Wow.
I mail physically, aside from the binding, and I was just learning like Photoshop and Illustrator and all that. And that's what I learned. I made that in school.
Okay, I think we have to make multiple copies. We have to reissue this.
Do you want me to read some passages?
Yes, please.
So this is the book So any, all by way of saying, like, having made this book by hand and then sending it to people, at least half of whom were enraged at what they received. Some people wrote, like, demanding refunds and sent the book back and, like, were just, like, really not happy about it. And even though I maintain that it's an attractive book and it's good. So the book, again, is called Down on the Farm, Barnyard Animals of Note, right? On the cover is a, like a baby, a calf, I believe, right? That's a calf, right?
Yeah.
And it's by David Hill. And I don't know why I said David the, as opposed to David.
The pictures, and just like, how'd you put them on, like glue stick?
Yeah, I think glue stick,
yeah.
Probably, or it sprayed, I don't know. And then on the inside is, there's like a pig, and he looks pretty cool. And the intro is, hello and welcome to the farm, exclamation point. My name is David, and in the pages that follow, we will take a revealing look into the exciting world of barnyard animals, exclamation point. Together, we will visit with some of my personal favorites, as well as the old standbys, and even get to know a few wily beasts that have rubbed me the wrong way in the past. Though big spending corporations will try and convince you with their fancy TV offers that real animal excitement can only be experienced through their slick jungle and aquatic life videotapes, I'm sure I'll have you agreeing in no time that the genuine article is just a few highway exits away from your front door on a nearby farm. Oh, and watch out, some of these creatures like to bite. Signed, David Hill. I think I called myself David Hill because the instructor called me that for some reason.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I better stick with what he calls me. Okay, do you want me to keep reading?
Yeah, go for it.
On the first page is the cow, and there's a picture of a full-grown cow and another full-grown cow in the background. The cow, considered by some to be the definitive farm animal, the cow has always been on my list of personal favorites. In addition to having multiple stomachs, these bovine beauties give us milk, juicy steaks, and something fun to look at on long car trips. If you haven't already, why not go out and experience a cow today? Go on, get a move on. That's the cow.
And that's the point where everyone's like, what did I pay for?
Yeah, and let me be clear. I'm technically a grown man when I've written and produced this book. Do you want me to read another entry?
Yeah.
From, again, if you're just tuning in, this is... These are excerpts from Down on the Farm, Barnyard, Animals of Note, by me, Dave Hill.
We absolutely have to reproduce this book.
The pig. Seen here engaging in exactly the kind... So the pig, they're kind of like... they're all... I guess they're feeding or something. They're all trying to get in there and feed, you can see. The pig. Seen here engaging in exactly the kind of activity that has earned them their sloppy reputation, pigs are ironically one of the only farm animals to cross over to house pet status. Additionally, pigs are responsible for such culinary treats as bacon, ham, and sausage, and have even made their way to the silver screen and such box office smashes as Babe and Charlotte's Web. I ask you, is there anything these little guys can't do? So that's the pig.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear another entry?
Yeah, just keep going. It should be the whole episode.
The next picture, on the next page, to be clear, just so the listener can picture, there's two animals entries per page.
Mm-hmm.
Next, there's sheep, but to be clear, there is a picture of a lamb, and there's a lamb and a sheep together. Who are these fluffy little guys, you ask? Why, they're sheep, of course, though they seem to become oddly motionless whenever I'm around. Sheep are also a favorite of mine. If you've ever owned a luxurious sweater that required a delicate cleaning treatment, you probably have one of these fellas to thank. Sheep are so cool, they even have a dog named after them. Not bad, if you ask me.
So your friend in Parade put this as a book?
For sale. As if it were like a hardcover book available, like a fully published thing.
But these people ordered it. Like, they knew what the name of the book was.
There was a photo of it, of the cover, but it didn't say, this is a shitty book made by hand in by a grown man living with his parents in Cleveland. Did not say that anywhere in the description.
How many copies did he sell?
I would say 40-something.
Wow.
The next entry, if you want to hear it, you can cut me off at any point. Okay, the next up, there's a rooster, and as you can see, there's a rooster on a fence. Made popular by cartoon character Foghorn Leghorn and through numerous appearances on boxes of cornflakes, the rooster, or cock as he is known in betting circles, is the official alarm clock of the barnyard, waking up pretty much everyone within earshot at the crack of dawn with his resounding cock-a-doodle-doo. Whether you're a farmer with early morning chores to rise for or just feeling lucky in Tijuana, you'll be glad to have this feathery friend on your side. Once again, these are excerpts from Down on the Farm, Barnyard Animals.
Was your family... aware of this while you were living with
them? I honestly do not think they had any idea that what was going on. I was living at the time. My sister Miriam, my oldest sister, who now lives in Australia, I think she may have been aware of it. But nobody else would have known. And for good reason. The next entry is the goat. When I was a youngster, a friend of mine had a pet goat that would chase us around the yard for hours in hopes of goring one of us with his pointy little horns. Thus, it comes as no surprise that these clove-footed wonders top my list of all-time favorite animals, farm animals. Though historically assumed to be tin can-eating minions of Satan, goats are actually amiable little creatures who want little more out of life than to chew a little grass, butt heads with their goat buddies, and provide us with some surprisingly tasty cheese. I feel, you know, I honestly have not read this book in a long time. And it, I think it stands up.
Yeah, it's informative.
There's other animals. What other animals, you ask? The horse, the donkey, the turkey. Another entry on the goat.
Yeah, my mom used to work in an office that did binding like that. So my brother, when we were growing up, he was a writer. He still is, but he was he would write like short stories and stuff, and then my mom would like bind them.
Oh, wow.
He would sell them for like $5 or whatever. His big one was called Electro Cop.
Oh, wow.
And I think he tried to make a choose-your-own-adventure style book, but the pages got all mixed up. So it'd be like, turn to page 64 if you want to keep hiking up the mountain, and then you go to page 64 and it just wouldn't make any sense. Just come in mid story. It's a lot of work to put together one of those things.
Yeah, so I did this in 20 years ago. Oh, and apparently I was boasting about a follow-up title called Trouble for Me, Trouble for You, Our Backyard Visitors. And there's the cover is a raccoon. So, gosh.
Did you thank anyone at the end?
No, there is an author biography.
What does that read?
David Hill is a saucy young man who was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. He has a penchant for profanity and a complete disregard for the warning labels on prescription medications, but nonetheless is adored by small children and senior citizens alike. Despite his advancing age, he still finds it amusing to go finish other people's sentences for them by saying the words, "in my pants," at the end. He has plenty of sporty outfits, but never really gets the hair right. This all checks out today.
Yeah, yeah. And this last clip, we're going to listen to when we had our friend John Broder of the band Bird Streets on the program, and he sang this song, Thanks for Calling, which is a great little power pop song, and it was such an awesome performance, and I thought it'd be a good way to close this episode out. So let's take a listen to John Broder of Bird Streets.
Thanks for calling. I would have been better off never knowing that you had to tell me everything. Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling. Pretty girls pass by all the time, but none catch my eye. Since I saw you, I've been blind to others. Time the phone rings, I get a chill. It could be you, but when it is, it's always bad news. So the next time you hook up with an old friend, keep it a secret. Keep me in the dark. So you're kind of a thing now. Thanks for calling. I would have been better off never knowing that you had to tell me everything. Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling. Sometimes at night I sit alone and think of you, but you're with him. I wonder
stuff.
And that's it for now, guys. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode featuring probably just me and Dave prank calling people, you know, all the usual stuff. Thanks for listening, guys. We're going to keep doing this show every Friday, Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, and then we're also going to keep doing So You're Canadian over at Maximum Fun. That comes out every Tuesday, and Dave Hill History Fluffer has been a little more sporadic lately. We've been trying to get episodes up every other Wednesday. Our schedules has made it a little bit hard, but we're hoping to come back guns blazing every week in 2020. We also have a few
live dates. Like I mentioned, San Francisco Sketch Fest will be there. And then we're actually going to be at the Brooklyn Podcast Festival on Friday, January 25th at, I believe, 10 p.m. And that's going to be at Union Hall. And that's going to be a live taping of Dave Hill History Fluffer. So be on the lookout for that. I don't know if tickets have gone up yet, but they will soon, and that's a small space, so you're going to want to get them. Thanks again. Thanks to Dave for recording that intro at the beginning. And thank you to you guys for listening. Thanks to our listeners over at FUBAR Radio in the UK. Please subscribe to this podcast. Tell all your friends about it. And more importantly, please leave a 5-star rating and a nice review. And that really helps us out a lot. We appreciate it. Until next time, guys. Thank you.
Ditch the penny. My favorite TV show is Letterkenny, the Montreal bagel is the food of the gods. I prefer my heavy metal in the form of Voivod. Park in the loose. Park in the loose. Park in the loose. Park in the loose. Park in the loose.
Nailed it.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.